I consider this time very priceless. There are times I think on Sunday or during the week, I think it'll be good to get with the body of Christ again on Sunday morning. What a gift. And sometimes we take it for granted, but God always kind of pricks my heart to remind me it is a gift and we enjoy the freedom of coming here. So just want to tell you from my standpoint, I consider this a gift, not a have to, but a get to. And I want you to know that this morning. So let's pray. Father, I just want to tell you, we love you. God, we adore you. And Lord, we acknowledge that we are adored by you. And God, that you love us with an everlasting love. A love that, God, we can't really describe and we can't fathom and we can't mine it completely. But Lord, we look forward to more of it today. You're going to lavish us in it again today. And I thank you for that, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to come now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, there's over the last couple of weeks with the holidays, there's always, you're kind of out of routine. I don't know about you guys, but we've been to Kentucky and back, my family and I. We went to YEC, Cameron and I did last week or week before last. And you just have a lot of time to think about a lot of things when you're out of routine. It kind of throws you off, kind of gets you out of your rut a little bit. I don't know if that happened to you guys, but it happened to me, and there's a lot of things on my heart that I hope to be able to share with you over the next few weeks. John's been putting the PowerPoint together this morning, and he keeps saying, well, what's the series title for this? I said, I don't know. I don't really have. And he said, you got to give me something. I said, I don't know. How about all the things I'm going to tell you over the next few weeks? I don't really have it because my heart really is full, because the one word that would describe, there's actually two words, that would describe how I felt over the last 2 weeks would be dissatisfied. That's one of them. I believe that God has put a holy dissatisfaction inside me. And then the other thing, though, I think God has asked me to do is, Dane, are you willing to abide with me? Are you willing to truly abide in my presence and allow me to flow through you? I believe those are two things that come to mind this morning. But I want to read you something, a little list. And it's actually a serious list of things that I got through an email to think about this coming year. And it's kind of long, but they're all good. First one is this. Love God more than you fear hell. Love God more than you fear hell. Once a week, let a child take you on a walk. This next one I never heard before, but I find it interesting. Make major decisions in the cemetery. Hey, you find out real quick what's lasting and what's not lasting. Maybe they need to put some grave markers in Circuit City and Best Buy. When no one is watching, live as if someone is. Succeed at home first. Don't spend tomorrow's money today. Pray twice as much as you fret. I changed the word fret to complain. But there's a stronger word, but I can't say it. Listen twice as much as you speak. Only harbor a grudge when God does. Never outgrow your love of sunsets. Treat people like angels. You will meet some and help make some. 'Tis wiser to err on the side of generosity than on the side of scrutiny. God has forgiven you, you'd be wise to do the same. When you can't trace God's hand, trust His heart. Toot your own horn and the notes will be flat. Don't feel guilty for God's goodness. The book of life is lived in chapters, so know your page number. And the last one is, and this is extremely important, I think, never let the important become the victim of the trivial. Never let the important become the victim of the trivial. I think that's very important for us this morning, to think about those kinds of things. But we're going to be looking at a few scriptures in just a moment. But it's interesting that as I was in Kentucky, I was thinking about what God had been putting on my heart for the new year. And like I was telling you earlier, there are plenty of things that God's been putting on my heart for the new year. And I suspect there's plenty of things He's been putting on your heart for the new year. That there's things that you probably have been kind of mulling over, cultivating, thinking, you know what, I really do want 09 to be different than 08. And I believe one of the places that we need to start is asking ourselves this morning, what is our heart towards God this morning for 09? And what is His heart towards us for 09 as we look at this morning? And just so happened, I never ever read the comics. Never ever read the comics. But while we were in Kentucky, I picked up the paper and I happened to read the comic section. And I thought it was interesting that in God's infinite time, or perfect time, in His infinite wisdom, He would put a comic to describe the way I was kind of feeling and was trying to put into something. And here's the comic that I saw. It's from Dennis the Menace. And here it is. Now, I'm going to read the caption to you. There's Dennis looking at the calendar. And here's what he's thinking. A whole new year to spend with Mr. Wilson. But it's excellent. He's excited. But look at the face of Mr. Wilson. 365 days of dinner. Now, I would ask you to ask yourself this question on multiple levels. First of all, how do you view this year? 365 days of potential, of unlimited possibilities, of maybe some struggles, but some good things on the outcome? Or are you looking at it like when you see in those movies when they show the calendar hanging on the prisoner's wall and they're marking another day off till their release? Are you dreading it? Are you thinking, here we are, just another year, the same old, same old? Are you excited? The second part of that is are you looking at your relationship with God like Mr. Wilson or like Dennis? Is it you're excited, God, we get to spend another time together. We're going to get to spend more time together. Or is it really like, I am so tired. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to spend any kind of quiet time. I like to, but it's just such a struggle. And God never speaks to me, and there's nothing ever comes from it that's fruitful. How is your time with God being viewed? How is your heart right now set towards God? Is it one of that's kind of calloused? That it's kind of not too excited? Or is your heart excited to be with God and see what God's going to do in these days and weeks ahead? It's a great opportunity for the church. We've talked about that over the last few months. It's a great opportunity for the church to be the church. But this morning, I would ask you to ask yourself that question honestly. Where is your heart before God today? Is it open to what He's doing? Or have you sealed it off and closed it down and said, you know, God, I'm just going to try to make it through, not realizing you have some great things for me? Well, guys, I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about it early mornings. I've thought about it on runs, bikes, and swims. I've thought about it late at night. Most of you know my sleep pattern is hit and miss. And when I wake up, this is pretty much what's on my heart, because I believe that God has set before us an opportunity this year to do great things for Him, because of Him, and through Him, but through His body of Christ. And so I ask myself, God, okay, you put dissatisfied and you put abiding on there. But God, help me work that out a little bit. So basically what I'm going to share with you this morning is the way God has been working out in my life, so hopefully you can take it and start to work it out in your own life. And so the title of this message really is this morning is Abiding. But we're going to look at three different scriptures. They're all going to be up there because the versions that I picked, I think, have what I really want to say to you this morning perfectly done. Okay? And the first one is this, Psalm 15. And Psalm 15 says this, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And here's the answer. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Look at the very last verse, the very last thing. He who does these things shall never be moved. Another version uses the word shaken. I want you to know that one of the desires of my heart for 09, for me, and I hope it's the desire of my heart for you, and I hope it becomes a desire of my heart, is no matter what you hear on the news, no matter what you see on the news, that you will not be shaken. that you will know that the sovereignty of God will penetrate fears, anxiety, and worry, that you will not be shaken. God's desire is that you will not be shaken. That when you hear rumors of wars and famines and plagues, because we hear them every single day, that you will remind yourself, I am a child of God and I do not have to be shaken. That if I'm doing the things that God desires for me to do, I do not have to worry. Discomfort might come, but I don't have to be shaken. Bad news might come. I don't have to be shaken. Because you're doing the things that the psalmist writes about in Psalm 15. You walk uprightly. That's one of the things that God put on my heart about not leaving His presence or abiding. But I said, God, show me more. Show me more. Because I don't want to be moved. I want people to see the church and us as individuals in 09, that people can come here and that regardless of what the world, the flesh and the devil might be saying, that we have staked our claim on the rock, on the cornerstone, and that we really mean it and that we will not be shaken. But as I was continuing to seek God on this, the very first scripture that came to mind, one of my favorite, John 15. Verses 1 through 11. I love these verses. I never get tired of them. What we're going to do is we're going to read them, and then we're going to walk through it. So John 15 simply says this. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples right at the end. And it's one of the things I love too about this scripture. It's right at the end of His earthly ministry, basically. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This morning, as we look about how to go about abiding, let's look at this a little more in depth. Verse 1 talks about, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Well, if one of my desires this year is simply to abide in God, then I must understand something. I must understand my position in this. And He is the sovereign God. And I am the one abiding in Him, so therefore He can produce fruit in and through me. As I thought about 09 and abiding, I thought, God, I'm kind of a doer at times. And this is hard for me to hear, and it's hard for some of you to hear what I'm getting ready to say too. God says, yes, but you can't do without being. Meaning, you can't understand, Dane, my will unless you're willing to abide in me and be all that I have for you, before you go do. You know, sometimes for us guys, we want to run out, we want to fix things. Problem arises, we just want to go fix it, take care of it, and be done with it. For most of us, the hardest thing for most of us to do with our relationship with God is simply be still and know that He is God. Most of the time, I think I miss God working is because I'm not still long enough to see Him work. And then I go on, I go, God, why didn't you do anything? I says, I was doing it all along. You were just too busy going your own way. So we have to understand, as we abide in Him, He is God, we are not. He is the vine dresser. He is the gardener, as one version says. To abide in Him is to be in Him. Verses 2 and 3 say, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Because you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Although according to verse 11, abiding in Him brings joy, we have to understand something today, church. on the way to joy, there might be some discomfort. That there might be some discomfort in our life. Yes, joy is there. But as we're abiding in Him and we're going along with our relationship, there might be some discomfort. But I have a question for you today. Do you trust in the goodness of God at the expense of your convenience? Do you trust in the goodness of God at the expense of your convenience? Because I want you to know something. That isn't easy. Sounds good, and it sounds nice when we're here on Sunday morning, but trusting God at the expense of our convenience can get difficult when it becomes practical. When He's calling us to spend more time with Him, when He's calling us to befriend someone who may not be like us, it isn't always easy. But the question becomes then, do we really mean what we say when we say Jesus is Lord of our life? Do you trust God enough at the expense of our own convenience? And then he goes on in verses 4 and 5. Jesus says it very bluntly, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You know that little statement about make major decisions in the cemetery? And then I said we needed some grave markers in Best Buy and Circuit City and Walmart and Target. You know, guys, the fact of the matter is we're producing fruit. It's whether or not it's going to last or if it's going to die. And I'm telling you, Christ has called us to produce fruit that lasts, that has a legacy. Most of us really never ever think about the legacy that we're leaving. We often say that we're not going to be able to take any of the stuff with us, the relationships we'll see on the other side. Are we making fruit that lasts or not last? If you want your doing to be lasting, it must be because of Him, it must be for Him, and it must be through Him. It's our choice, though. Are we producing fruit? You know, we buy bananas and oranges, and nothing drives me crazier. I'll eat four bananas in one day if I think they're going if they're rotten. Okay, I just keep eating them. You know, problem is sometimes the stomach does not receive what I'm willing to give it. Okay, four bananas in one day is kind of hard on my digestive tract, okay? All right? But it's one of those things where it's a good analogy to think about something. Where you're investing yourself in your life right now, is it lasting? Is it lasting? Are you producing fruit that lasts because you are abiding in Him? And then verse 6 and 7 says this, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it should be done for you." You know, I struggle a lot of times with that verse 7. If you ask anything of me, then it'll be done. Because I know there's been some times where I'll ask, I go, "But you said it'd be done, God." But as God has slowly changed my heart to see that differently, my picture has become this. A small child sitting in the lap of their parent. And they stay there for such a long time that they actually just become one. That when a small child comes up close to a parent's chest, they can feel the heartbeat. And the Scripture says in other places, when we don't know what to pray for, that the Spirit in us can speak to the Spirit in the Father. And there's a oneness there. But you see, if we're not abiding, we don't have a closeness. So therefore, our hearts with God, there's not a oneness there. And Christ is saying this, that you see abiding in me, I'm sorry, picture being in the lap of God, there's a oneness. There's a oneness that Christ desires in our lives. That closeness does not lead to a selfish request, but leads to pursuing the heart of God to know what to ask for. To know what to ask for. That closeness. Do you feel that closeness? Because there's a closeness that God desires today. He doesn't want you to be far away. He wants us to be very, very close. He wants the heart to be one. You know, it's kind of like sometimes when Kathy and I are talking to people, it seems never to happen when we're talking to one another, which I can't figure that out exactly, but when we're talking to other people, she can start a sentence and I can finish it, or I can start a sentence and she can finish it. Now, when we're talking to one another, sometimes I'll start a sentence, she'll finish it, but it's not what I was going to say, okay? All right? And it goes the other way. It goes the other way. But I want you to picture it today, being in the lap of God. Because I want you to know that there's a world out there that is crawling into the wrong lap very often. That is crawling up into the presence of not God. I don't know if you saw it this week or not. It was one of those headlines that I happened to catch on in Papua New Guinea, where they accused of a lady of being a witch. They simply dragged her, ripped her clothes off, tied her to a log, set her on fire. That is horrific. I mean, that's horrific. But what disturbed me maybe the most is this. I happened to catch one headline in the news story said they're doing this regularly over there now. That they're doing this regularly. Guys, you know that our world is being duped, but you and I have the responsibility to go before the throne room of God, to intercede, to see things be different. And only if we're willing to crawl up in the lap of God do we know what the heart of God is. Do we see the timing of God? And then will we trust? Hey, when the Father asked me to do something, it's out of love. But we don't do to be, we be to do. We have that backwards a lot of times. Let's look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You see, abiding in Him brings God glory. Isn't that our ultimate purpose? Because if you and I are not abiding in Him, then I would ask you today, where are you abiding and who's getting the glory? Where are you abiding and who's getting the glory? If you're not abiding in God, if you're not abiding in that presence of God, then the fruit that you're producing, who are you producing it for, and who's getting the glory for it? I believe one of the things that God is doing in the church in America today is this, is He said, I will not allow your low standard to be an example or a thought of as my standard. I believe God has said, I have this standard. And He's calling us to come up to it. And that works out in different ways in our lives. But this abiding is where we're going to start. This being in the presence of a holy God is where we're going to start. And it starts realizing that we do it for His glory and honor. I don't know all that Christ was thinking when He was saying all this to His disciples and then as He was praying. But I know that He really meant what was said later on in the New Testament, for the joy set before Him. Because it only could have been something so joyful that could have led one person to go through that much suffering. But it was that full of joy, abiding in the presence of God. Verse 9 says this, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Very simply is this, guy, we want to look like the vine. We want to represent what the rest of that vine looks like. We want to see that we want to bring glory and honor to the vine dresser or the gardener. We want to see the world look at us and say, hey, when they're looking at us, they are looking at little Christ. We want that closeness. We don't want to mock it. We don't want some poor imitation. We want to see that we really are a representation of the true living vine. And that part of that is love. And that's what it goes on to say in verse 10. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. How many people have you met just over the last couple of weeks that if they could just understand how much God loves them, their world would be totally different? That the way they think, the way they talk, the way they live their lives, the way they make decisions would be totally different. One of the beauties about kind of getting out of the routine, at least for me, I don't know about Kathy and Cameron, but one of the beauties out of getting out of our routine and being around other people for a few days is this, getting to see a totally different point of view about different things in life. And one of the things I always walk away from most of the people that are around is this, they don't have the same view of church as Kathy and Cameron and I do. Most of the people that we were around over the last couple of weeks got up with the attitude of, let's go do something so we can be done with it. Well, we have the attitude where we get up and be something because it's who we are. Not something to do, but something to be. But if we're serious about this love factor, the choice to remain connected is ours. But Jesus does say, if you obey my command, if You obey my commands. This love thing will be a reality. But let me ask you, or let me read you some things about love. Do you love Him? Do you love yourself? Do you love others? Do you love His Word? Do you love His church? Do you love the law? And maybe the last one, I know I started with love Him, but maybe the last one might be the hardest one, but maybe the greatest thing if we'll realize could change the world we live in. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? Because we have become a gray area country. We've become a gray area country. Black and white does not exist anymore in our country. It's just kind of the gray area, what makes you feel good. So if you don't love the truth, then you don't love Him. Because I'm talking about the truth. I'm not talking about a truth. I'm talking about the truth. So if you're willing to abide in Him, you will love these things. And the verse 11 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." You want to be full of joy today? Then it comes from Christ and Him alone. And it comes from abiding in Him and walking with Him and letting Him be Lord of your life. This year, guys, it's up to us to choose whether or not it's going to be different than 08. It's up to us to whether or not we want to look back on this year and say, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, one of the things, I say this to you because most of you guys have heard it a million times. I love it when we're singing Days of Elijah. I love that song, okay? But the thing I'm always laughing about when we're singing it, we're always going like this, I'm thinking, do we realize what's going to be going on, practically speaking, when all that happens? Do we understand that it won't be all party time? We won't have the little, one of those things you blow at birthday parties, little kazoo, balloons. We won't have, what'd you say? Yeah, that's what you blow here. That it's going to be real. And one of the things I want you to understand that when times come, that this abiding in Him becomes so, so important. So important. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today. One of the things that God impressed upon my heart last week as I was thinking about this was this. I don't have time tomorrow to do what God's asking me to do today. I don't want to be behind the curve in all the things that God has for me because I'm willing to say, I'll get to it later. No, today, the now. I want to challenge you to be diligent. I want to challenge you to be purposeful. I want to challenge you to be humble. And I want to challenge you to be fruitful. Fruitful. Humble, diligent, purposeful. I want you to live your life like today might be the last day. In fact, this morning, I don't know if you read Guideposts yet or not, Mom, but this morning I was reading I have a daily guidepost that my mom gives me every year for a Christmas gift, which, by the way, I got the new one. Thanks. And it was interesting because the lady writing it today has neural fibrosis. And her little devotional today said that when she was studying that, she was doing some internet looking, which sometimes can be dangerous for various diseases. But she said she found out the average life expectancy for people who have that was 54 years old. Do you want to know how old she turned last year when she found that information? 54 years old. And she said it scared her at first. This could be it. But she decided to do something every day last year that she had never done before. She decided to ask herself this question. What would I do if I knew that I only had 1 year to live? What would I do if I knew I only had 1 year to live? And I thought that really stimulated me this morning. I thought because I live on this side of heaven as if so often my decisions don't affect others. Or as if I have all the time in the world to do things on this side of heaven that God wants me to do. And one of her conclusions was that she would make the most of the opportunity. Now, of course, we're a year later, and apparently she's still alive. Okay, she didn't give it. She admitted that she had to fight the fears a little bit when she read that information. But my point being is this. We don't know the last moment on this side. But I do know that I want to be as close to Him on this side, for when I see Him on the next side, there was an interruption. And for most of us, truthfully, we'll have to get to know Him. And I don't believe that's His perfect will. I believe His perfect will is to get to know Him now. So it's just a slight pause before we get to the other side. So this morning, a couple things I want us to do is this. I actually want to give you something to take home in two capacities. I brought mustard seed. Okay? Now, Don and Deb, I know you're probably the only ones that will try to grow it. But I'm not giving you this to grow. Okay? As a matter of fact, Jake, come here. Here, you and Rick can do this for me. As they go around, I just want you guys to dump a couple out, or whatever falls into your hand. No, you can take the bag. Spread it out to them. Just give them a few. And if you have a Bible or if you have a book, I just want you simply to drop them in there. I don't want you to put them someplace where you can say, I know where they are. I want you to just have them in there so they'll fall out on some day to remind you that Christ said, the faith of a mustard seed can grow and produce and move mountains, can do great things. But the fact is a mustard seed grows and produces. It does not just simply stay and not do anything. So this morning I wanted to give you a practical hand on something. I was going to give everybody a little piece of rope. Why is that? Because the fact is most of us will argue with God and have a little tug of war with Him that we can't win over the things He's putting on our heart. So that's why I want to encourage you today, instead of giving you rope, it's simply this. Be humble. Be humble. Be willing to submit. And Danny, got a little job for you. Make sure everybody gets one of these, but make sure Jay doesn't get one because he'll draw on it. I'm just kidding. Jay can have one. You'll have to ask Jay why he calls me that later. But this morning, as they're passing out the mustard seeds and Danny's passing out those half sheets of paper, is this. To ask you this morning, is one of the desires of your heart to become all Christ has for you? I think you say yes. I would ask you to think about this morning, is that the only desire of your heart? Is that your starting place? Is to become all that Christ has for you this morning. The last scripture I want us to look at is Ephesians 3:14-19. It's up on the PowerPoint. I'll let these guys get done. Because one of the things I want you to do with that paper is this. After I read the Ephesians passage to you, I want you to take a moment to write a phrase or a word or just some words that only make sense to you of what God is calling you to for 09. Mine's the one word, abiding. For you, it might be obedient, might be sacrifice. For you, it might be make all your major decisions in a cemetery. It might be ask Him first. But this morning, I thought that it would be practical. And again, this is one of those things that I want you to do, so therefore you will put it somewhere, and I literally mean this, by the way, that literally you will kind of just forget about it over time. But at just the right moment, God's going to have you find the mustard seed, going to have you find this piece of paper that you wrote something down on January 11, 2009. Some of you miss a great blessing by not journaling. I love pulling out some of my old journals and think, what in the world was I thinking about when I wrote that down? But also I see where God answered many prayers that I thought He wasn't doing anything about. So here we are, Ephesians 3:14-19. This is Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And verse 19 is the key to me. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God. To root out bitterness and anger, unforgiveness. To heal the brokenness. To clean out the crooks and the little places that we seal off to Christ so often. To be filled with the fullness of God. As this year unfolds, my prayer is that we will abide in Him and that we will recognize the fullness of God. But that others in us will see the fullness of God. Just by being in our presence, that they will know that we are different with the fullness of God. So I'm going to pray for us, but I want you to know that I'm going to pray specifically against what keeps us from producing fruit. That I'm going to pray that God will show us and take away the obstacles that keep us from abiding in Him. And I pray, or will pray, that if you don't remember the Dennis the Menace cartoon, that each day you'll think about your attitude towards God and your time with Him and your relationship with Him and how His attitude towards you is. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You today that God, You have called us to be abiding in You, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the salt and the light of the earth. God, we just want to praise You today that You've allowed us to join You in all that You're doing. But God, we want to say thank You for choosing us to abide in You. I mean, God, You could have done it so many different ways. But You have said, we're in this together. And Lord, I pray today that You would help us to submit our lives to You, that we can say back to You, God, I'm in it with You. Lord, I pray today that You would remove the obstacles, the things that keep us from abiding in You, the things that keep us from allowing the world to see that we're abiding in You. God, I pray that You would sink deep into our hearts Your words. And Lord, I do pray that we can say at the end of 09 that we were filled with the fullness of God. Because God, if we do that, it will make a difference to those around us. Lord, I pray today that we would ask You to bless what You're doing in our lives and be willing to let drop to the ground what You desire, what You're not desiring to bless. Lord, we love You very much. And we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.